Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I've had quite a few changes in the last few days, and I'm going to talk about them. I don't know if you recall, but last year I took a trip to New York to visit my friend who just had a little baby. I was flying from Denver and my trip got postponed. So the airline, JetBlue, gave me a credit for another flight, and it was a 1-year deadline. So that 1 year is coming up, and I've been wanting to visit my friend again, but I haven't had time between work and moving. I'm packing everything. I'm moving to San Diego. I'm changing my whole life. I don't know what the hell is going to happen, but I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous just because I don't have a job. But I don't know. I also feel like really positive. So I've been wanting to visit and use up this ticket when I thought, oh, maybe I can get some time in March. But my boyfriend, Gary, as I'm calling him, he suggested to come see him, to see the apartment and to spend that time together. So I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. I should. So that's what I did. I booked a trip to San Diego. And I pretty much just got back. So I still have to go to New York. And it has to be before May 11th. So that has to happen. But first, I drove to Denver. Because out of Denver, get this, the flight to San Diego, there and back, was $79. How is that even possible? Like, that is so cheap. And the flight wasn't even completely full. Are they making any money off of it? No idea. Even though I did have to check a bag, which is like the same price as the actual flight itself, you know, because now everything's separate, right? You pay for everything that you want separately, and then it ends up being the same price as something that maybe wasn't so cheap. And I know I'm sounding old here, but I've flown a lot in my life. I mean, my first job, right, I got paid $4.25 an hour dollars. So, you know, I've been around a while, right? It's like when super old people, you know, they used to tell me, oh, back in the day, I made like $1.25 an hour. I'm like, oh my God. But now it's the same thing. When I tell young people, my first job, I made $4.25 an hour, they're like, oh my God. Like, it's the exact same thing. But you boarded a plane and everything was included, right? Like, you could even check a bag, no problem, this giant bag. Because back in the day, when I was growing up, the bags weren't so cute and portable like they are now. And they didn't have wheels. You had to, like, carry them, you know, and break your arm doing it. Like, they were huge and so impractical, the worst shape ever. Like, now everything is so, like, streamlined and portable and cute. You know, everything was included. You had your meal. Like, you had a full meal, no matter where you were going, like in Europe. When I was living in England and we flew to France, like, you'd get a snack and a drink. You didn't have to worry about paying everything separately. You could pick your seat. It wasn't an extra charge. It was just a different time. Also, when you flew, because you got food, you didn't have to stress before the flight. You didn't have to think, oh, what am I going to eat at this terminal before I board the flight so that I'm not starving later? See, it always goes back to food. Even when I'm flying, I'm always like, oh, what am I going to eat? So yeah, now you don't get any food. If you do, you have to pay for it separately. And it's like just basic snacks. I remember flying and I was 12. I remember flying from London to New York, and we flew with Virgin Airlines, the family. You're given slippers, and this was when Virgin Airlines pretty much just started, and my mom had the biggest crush on Richard Branson. When she said, we're going to New York, my mom booked this ticket with Virgin Airlines, and she was so excited. Every time she heard Richard Branson's voice, she would, like, hold my arm, you know, basically, like, be quiet. I need to pay attention. Richard Branson is on speaker because when you enter Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson was speaking like on repeat, like, welcome to Virgin Airlines. Actually, it was an English accent. Welcome to Virgin Airlines. And then in front of you, you will find the touchscreen television and a pouch where you will have your slippers and your earplugs. And it would go on and on. And my mom would just like grip onto my arm. Like I couldn't talk in that time. And we were all so excited. It was like you're opening something for Christmas. You've got this red pouch filled with all these little things for the flight. It was like you're going on this big adventure. It was amazing. And then there was this booklet and you had menu A, B, or C. You could pick different menus. And we weren't in business class or anything like that. We were just simple economy. There was more leg room between you and the other person. The seat was cushioned. Like now, if you look at the seats, it's literally an inch thick, maybe even thinner, maybe. But then it was like three times the thickness, you know, it was cushy. It was nice. I want to say 7 hours from London to New York. But you were given slippers. It was one of the first airplanes where you had your own individual screen TV in front of you, like behind the seat, like we do now anyway. But before that, you had TVs that would come down every, like, I don't know, 8 rows or something in the airplane. And you would watch from the TV that came down from where the air came out. And you would watch the movies that they played. They had a VHS toward the front of the cabin. The air stewardess, well, the flight attendant, you know, they put in the VHS and you'd watch what they put in. And that was normal. They gave out headphones. If there was a tall person in front of you, in the seat in front of you, you had trouble maybe seeing the TV if it was further away, like at the beginning of the 8 rows, you know? So it was like worse than a movie theater because if you were in a bad spot, you'd have to keep shifting your head to try and see something on the TV. But if you didn't like the movie, then I was like, oh, I'm going to sleep now, you know? And it gave me an excuse to sleep because now there are so many options on the TV, because everyone has their own individual TV when you fly abroad, that basically I don't sleep anymore. I'm just constantly watching movies. And I'm not complaining because I love watching movies. But then I realize, oh, my eyes are hurting because I'm so tired, you know? Damn technology. And talking about flying makes me think of way, way, way back when I was, I want to say, 8, you could smoke on the airline. You know, you could smoke on the plane. There was a smoking section and they would just close the curtain. Like that was going to stop the smoke. So the smoke is in the whole airplane anyway. It was ridiculous. And I hate cigarette smell. Like that's my worst nemesis of a smell. And now when you fly, you're just happy that the flight is not delayed and that there's no cancellation and that you just actually get there on time. Like, my expectations are so low when I fly now. So yes, I drove to Denver because the flight was $79. From Aspen, it would have been like $500. And I'm like, no, that's not going to work. So I left early because I thought, oh, maybe I'll hit traffic. No, everything was smooth. I left early because I thought, oh, I'm going to hit like this long security line because it was a Saturday. No. Nothing. So I get through everything smoothly and I end up waiting like 3 hours for this flight. Like I was that early, but whatever. I'd rather not be stressed than everything go wrong and be stressed, right? So everything goes great with the flight, even though I sit in the middle. Okay, it's fine. I land. Gary is there. He gives me flowers. You know, we hadn't seen each other in 2 months. We just had the best time. Like, it was so nice. I saw the apartment. Like, it's an older apartment. Like, it's not super modern, but the size is great. It's going to hold all my kitchen things and my plants and my cookbooks. Like, all the stuff that I have, which I'm packing now, and it's a nightmare. I met his friends. We had a barbecue, like a Brazilian barbecue. Like, I ate this, it's like a Brazilian cheese. It's kind of like halloumi. I don't know the name of it. There. You grill it, and it's on skewers, and then you eat it with honey. It was so good. I could not stop eating it. And then there was this meat. It still had a little bit of fat on it, but it gave it more flavor. It was sliced, and then you take it, and you dip it in farofa, which is a cassava flour. And cassava comes from yuca. It's like another name for it. But it has spices in it. So you don't really season what you grill, really. Like, you might marinate it or something, but you just dip it into the farofa. And there was a marinated chicken. It was marinated in beer and spices. It was delicious. And I saw the whole area. You know, in Aspen, I'm used to being pretty isolated. Pros and cons to that. I mean, I love, love, love hiking by myself. I just really do. It calms me. Like, I feel like I've come so far in my own mental development in the last couple of years, as well as emotional development. And being outside and hiking has just really helped me in that. I'll be hiking in the middle of nowhere by myself, and it'll just be me. I mean, yes, it could be dangerous, but I was always fine. You can't find that anywhere. You know, when you live in a city and you want to go hiking, I mean, you can't even find a log to pee behind because someone's going to come around the corner any second. You know, it's like everyone from the city wants to go hike and it's busy. But here, it's such a small town that when I hike, I won't necessarily see anybody. Once I hiked for 6 hours, it was just me the whole time, and I loved it. Even though when the sun started to set, I'm like, I have to like run back. You know, it got a little bit like sketchy. I will miss those hikes of solitude and just being in my own thoughts. I will miss the stars glowing at night, so bright. I feel like I'm so close to the stars. I mean, it's incredible. And just to see those mountains, I mean, I have such love for the nature here. I've never seen anything so beautiful. I've seen other beautiful places, of course, but living here is different because you start to get to know all the beautiful spots. And because it's like the nature, you have it all to yourself. I don't have to share it. You know what I mean? Like, I can just stand here and be by myself and listen to the water flowing or listen to the wind, like dusting over the snow. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible. Yes, I will miss that. But on the other side, I mean, the hotel owns me. You know, like, I can only have off when there's no events. I mean, there's always some sort of drama going on. And considering how much I like to be outside, I'm just always too busy at work. I can't enjoy it the way I really would want to. Like, if I didn't have to work, I would just be outside all the time, especially in the summer. Like, the summers are so perfect. So at the end of the day, it's like I can't really enjoy it the way I want to, you know? I have to wait for my days off and then I go nuts, you know? But it's like then I have this big long list of all the things I have to do because it's my day off. And then as I'm doing them, I maybe accomplish 3 things out of 7, you know? And then I'm like, why did I think I could do all 7? You know, like I just become this crazy person because I just want to enjoy everything to the fullest, you know? But who has that much energy? Like, I have a lot of energy. I think I overdo it just a little bit. But when it's my day off, I intentionally go hike, go in the mountains, obviously not in the winter. But I do it intentionally because then I'm out of service. Nobody can contact me. And I love that. I love that, oh, I was in the mountains for like 6 hours. You can't contact me. And I even tell my staff, don't contact me. I'll be in the mountains. But then when I get close to town again, I get a little bit nervous because I'm wondering, oh, how many messages will I have when I get back into service? Always, always. What I'm looking forward to is just, I guess, getting closer to these dreams I've had for so long. Do I know how they're going to happen yet? No. But I feel like if I don't start it, Like, if I don't somehow start what I'm planning to do, right? Like, with my own business, with selling my own things, like, if I don't even attempt it, how will I know if it'll ever become something? Oftentimes, like, in my head, I'm like, if only I would meet an investor, he'll give me, or she, excuse me, I don't know, $200,000 or whatever, and then everything will be so much easier. But maybe that's just not how it's supposed to work. I mean, in my head, it seems like it would be easier, but who knows? You know, what do I really know? So instead, I have to figure out other ways. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm excited, you know, but I'm nervous because I'm not going to have this paycheck coming in. But I'm also a very determined person. I've been making this list of things that I need to do. Going out there this past weekend has just really helped me even more to become more excited. Gary and I just got along so well, and it was amazing just spending this time with him and meeting his friends and seeing the area. Like, we went to this lake, we did a 2-hour walk around this lake, and I thought, oh, like, I can kayak there, you know, and it got me excited about that. Yes, I'm leaving this fairy nature land, but I'm gonna find other things that I love just as much. I'm gonna go to the beach and enjoy the sand, which we also did. And we went to this amazing sushi place. I mean, there's so many restaurants there. I'm just used to being isolated, not having anything around me. And now it's back to a city, so it's completely different. Of course, there's traffic and more people, you know, so that's very different to me. Again, pros and cons. One day we went to the beach, we walked along, and it's still pretty cold, like windy, but a lot warmer than Aspen, because obviously there's a bunch of snow here. And then I said, I'd like to try your poke place. He goes to this really good poke place, and he always talks about it. So he's like, yeah, let's do that. We got fresh poke. He's like, let's eat a bit lighter, because I made a reservation at a restaurant for tonight. I'm like, oh, you did? Like, what restaurant? He's like, I'm not going to tell you any further about it. I'm like, okay. I mean, okay. You know, I wasn't thinking anything of it. I'm just like, okay, like, that's sweet. Like, he made this effort to take me out. Okay. He books an Uber. He opens the door for me of the car. And even the Uber driver, she says, she's like, oh, that was so nice. He opened the door for you. I'm like, I know. And then, you know, he walks around the other side, so he didn't hear her say that. He was just being very attentive and holding my hand, and it was just super sweet. And we drive to this restaurant. It's called Born and Raised in San Diego. It's this really old, beautiful location. It's in downtown San Diego. There's a rooftop area, and you can see the downtown. And it used to be, I asked about the history, and I guess the restaurant's been there for 7 years, but it used to be a photography studio, and now it's just so beautiful. Like, it looks like it was built in the 20s or something. Just the architecture is amazing. Lots of beautiful wooden and gold accents, these pillars in the middle of the room, these tall ceilings. It looked very Art Deco. We sit on this corner table, there's heat lamps. We're in the upstairs section. And our table, it's a wraparound booth facing the downtown skyscrapers. We're outside. There's these pillars inside the restaurant, and they're covered with all these beautiful flowers. Like, they're not real, but it's just so pretty. And we see we're right opposite the San Diego skyline. I was so impressed. I'm like, oh my God, like, you booked this. He's like, yeah, it's beautiful. So we get the menu. We get a very upscale server. He knows what he's doing, right? So we end up picking, it's like a large meatball, which is delicious. And they put it on top of polenta. It's like creamy polenta. And by the way, like, I guess I was doing so well on this, like, altered diet, right? Where I'm eating more vegetables and less sugar and all that. And then I go to this amazing place. Of course, I had to get dessert, like, later. But I feel like all of that just went out the window. We also pick this pasta. It's made in Little Italy there in San Diego, the pasta is. And it was like cooked in this uni egg sauce. It was delicious. It was so different and original. I really liked it.
We also ordered the salmon.
And we got the steak Diane, which they seared tableside and put it in the sauce and flambéed. And it was such a like upscale place. And everything was so perfect. I don't know. I just felt so lucky. You know, like I have this amazing person next to me and he's so thoughtful. Like even in the house, the apartment, he put this frame together with 9 pictures since we'd met, you know, and hung it on the wall. Like there's nothing else on the wall except that. And it was just so sweet. Like he didn't have to do that. He's the man I've never met. Like I never knew this kind of a person existed. And the fact that I met him on a plane flying to Denver last September, I mean, how amazing is that? Yeah, it's like when you're not focused on something, I guess it just sits next to you. I mean, who knew that could even happen? Like, I didn't. So we're eating the food and sharing it and just having the best time. And then I'm like, oh, we should take a picture with the skyline, you know, as a background. He's like, yeah, we'll do it later. I'm like, okay. Because I get pretty crazy about my pictures, right? And then we eat the steak Diane and everything was cooked perfectly. Like the pasta was perfectly al dente.
The steak was a perfect medium and juicy.
We had these mashed potatoes with the steak Diane. They were so creamy and delicious. I mean, everything was so good. And we were just blown away and enjoyed everything thoroughly. And then I order a carrot cake. They basically had 3 cakes. It was a chocolate cake, it was a cheesecake, and a carrot cake. And the carrot cake had like 9 layers. It just looked really good. And I love, love, love a good carrot cake. Like I make a really good carrot cake and it has fresh pineapple in it, which just boosts the flavor and the moisture. I love it. It's like one of my favorite cakes. But the thing is, you cannot serve it with a sweet buttercream, like a sweet cream cheese icing. It just takes away from the cake. It doesn't have to be sweet. So he brings out the cake and I'm like, oh my God, it's like so perfect. I don't try it right away. The server comes, he's like, do you want to take the picture with the skyline? And we're like, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then we'll have the dessert. So I move over, it's a banquette. I move over the other side of it. And we take pictures and the server's like taking pictures and then he's still holding the phone and Gary moves off the banquette.
Okay, so I'm editing the episode and I'm going through it. I told my fiance that I'm doing this episode about the proposal and he's like, you are like excited? And I said, yes. And I said, don't worry, I'm not using your name. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, for privacy reasons, I'm not using your name. And then he said, well, you're using some other guy's name. And I said, yeah. Like, do you want me to use a different name? He's like, no, I don't want you to use another guy's name. So I said, okay.
Anyway, I don't want to offend him. You know, if he's listening to these episodes, he doesn't want to be Gary and he doesn't want to have a different name. So to reassess, Rodolfo gets off the banquette. He gets on one knee and he pulls out a ring in its box. He pulls it out and he's like, will you marry me? And I'm like, what? I didn't say that. You know, and the server is like filming at this point. And I'm like, where's the privacy? Like, I don't know. And I didn't say that either. But I was speechless and I went to kiss him and I just said, yes.
Which later on he asked me, did you actually say yes?
I'm like, yes, of course I said yes. And oh my God, this ring is so beautiful, you know, and I mean, I love jewelry. I mean, really, which woman doesn't? I don't know, but I'm sure there's some that aren't really into it. I love jewelry, okay? I don't have to have everything real and diamond and all this. No, it's okay. I don't have to have that, you know? But this ring is so beautiful. And I've never had anything this beautiful. And
he told me later, like, he picked it himself. He was kind of stressing because he had this timeline and he had to find something. And it's the princess cut. It's just this sparkly, clear diamond. It's perfect. And it has, I want to say, 5 mini diamonds on the band itself on both sides. And when the sun hits it, like, I can't stop looking at it. It's so shiny and beautiful. And I don't know, I can't believe this whole thing happened. I really can't. I'm just like in shock. I just, I'm still in shock, apparently. And so we eat the carrot cake and it was perfect. And he brings out these 2 glasses of champagne. And I guess the server knew the whole time. Like, he knew, because a few days prior to me coming, Rodolfo went to this restaurant before it even opened. He was there at 2:30. It opens at 3. He went inside and he said, I'm going to propose. Where is your best table? I need to make a reservation for it. So he looked at the table and yes, so that table was reserved. And just the amount of planning he did, like, I was so impressed. I've never met a man like this. Like, I really haven't. He proposed. And I never thought that would happen. I guess the whole thing really is this, like, fairy tale. I never would have thought that. Even though when I watch these romantic comedies or things like that, I'm like, oh my God. And when I was hiking by myself, you know, and I had passed this couple, like this old couple, and they'd be sharing their lunch. I'm like, oh, that's adorable. You know, it's like, I'm just happy. I'm just happy to share my life with somebody, to go on holiday with somebody, and to drink pina colada with somebody. You know, I'm such an adventure seeker. I will never wait for things to happen. I'm always busy doing something. And my friends make fun of me all the time because they're like, oh, what 10 things did you do today? You know, and I'll list them all. I mean, other people I know, they just sleep all day. I don't know. But I can't let a day go to waste, so to speak. So I have a hard time just relaxing, you know, but I love sharing the time with somebody and just doing simple things. Like making a salad or playing cards or watching a TV episode, you know, just basic things, simple things. Like, those are the most important. I guess because I'm always so busy, that's the only way I was going to meet the true person that I was meant to be with, you know, while I was busy doing something else, like flying to a Coldplay concert. So yeah, that's what I did in San Diego. And after that whole, like, 4 days, I didn't want to come back. Like, I was so bummed that I had to come back. I feel like this was, like, kind of a tease. He's like, oh, this is the life you can have, but you have to go back for a month before you can actually have that. You know? I got engaged. I'm just excited and happy. And it was nice to go and to see everything. And now I have this vision, you know, of where I want to put furniture, where I want to put my artwork, where I want to put my pole, and just how to arrange the kitchen and where to put my hammock and my plants. I mean, geez, to be able to share my home, my life, and just with this beautiful person. I mean, that gives me so much joy. I mean, that's the thing that I've been missing, right? To find it so unexpectedly. I remember when I would ask my mom, like, why can't I just find someone that is just perfect, you know, and we get along so well, and why does that not, like, exist? And she'd always be like, you know, timing is everything, everything at the right time, and when you least expect it, it'll happen. And I would just, like, roll my eyes. I'm really good at that. And it's so true. You know, when you're not looking for something, when you're not focused on something so much, I mean, how can anything else happen? Your eyes are just focused on this one spot that you really, really want. But everything around you is just faded out. So even if something else were to happen, you wouldn't see it. It's okay. Just keep being passionate and keep doing what you love to do, you know? And within that, don't focus in too much. There's so many joys and simple things every day on a regular daily basis. And if you're focused on one thing so much, you don't see any of those things. You know, and I'm the same way on something that I really want. I mean, I've wanted so many things, and they never happened the way I imagined they would, you know, but I've had amazing things happen. And it's funny because when you're so focused on something and then it does happen, you know, it'll always happen differently than you think it will. But then when it does happen, and this is with anything, before it happens, you imagine that moment to completely change your life. And of course it can, in whatever way possible, but you're like, oh, this is completely going to change everything and everything's going to be perfect and this is all I've ever wanted. But then when you get that, or you get something like, you know, similar to it, you're like, oh, like that's nice, you know, but it's just a moment and that moment passes. And then that's just, okay, like, did it change my life? Maybe, you know, but it's not as impactful as you think it will be. It's so much more anticlimactic. I'm just thinking back of something that I got that I really, really, really wanted. And it was when I got like an acting job. It was for motion capture and it was a 2-week project. It ended up being a month project and I became part of the Screen Actors Guild. Yes, it was amazing. It was something that I'd wanted for a long time, you know, to get a job, just make money off of doing something that you love. You know, and you don't have to have a side job to pay for the bills. Like, this thing that you want will pay for everything. And yes, it was amazing. But at the time, it was actually kind of stressful because after I had auditioned, they weren't sure if they were going to hire me because I wasn't part of the union. And they said they were only looking at people that were part of SAG. So it kept going back and forth if they were going to hire me or not. So then that was kind of stressful to begin with. And then I actually got the job and it was like kind of surreal. But then I was just happy that I was part of it, you know, and it's like, okay, all right. Like now this is reality. Now this is happening. Because it was so much back and forth with it, when it finally did happen, it was just, oh, okay, that's the new normal. Now I'm part of it. Thank God. But then you think, well, will this still be as amazing if I do this like 40 times? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I'd always wanted to go to Italy. And when I went to culinary school, I finally did, right? I went for an internship at the end, like my last semester, and that was part of a grade. I worked there and I was so, so, so excited. I met all these great people who lived there and they showed me around. I had such an amazing time and it was amazing. But then at the same time, there was this other side of me. I felt so lonely. There was this part that wasn't truly fulfilled, you know? And at that time I was married. Yes, it wasn't the right person that I was married to. He wasn't into traveling, at least with me. And he just wanted me to come back. He just didn't want to be in the house by himself for like a month, you know? And he just wanted me to come back. And I'm like, I can't. I'm doing my internship, like for a grade. I can't come back, you know? But he wasn't like supportive of the bigger picture. Looking back, I've never truly felt like 100% supported by a man. And I just feel very differently now about the situation, you know, and I don't mean supported like financially, but more like emotionally. In most relationships I've been in, it's always been about the other person, you know, and of course, like I want to show that person that I care for them. I've always given more than I've gotten back, you know, and then that was kind of a pattern. To a point that maybe I'd give too much of myself. I don't know. It wasn't so balanced. And I think like this is the first time that I really feel, okay, like this works both ways. And I just feel very differently than I ever have. And that's amazing. As I'm talking, I was thinking of scenarios where these amazing things happen that I've always wanted, and they've always been connected with something bittersweet. Like even when I got into acting school, it's something that I really, really wanted, and then I got admitted, and it was amazing for the second year, because every year you had to get accepted. But then my friends, my immediate friends, they didn't get accepted, and they were super sad. So that was bittersweet. And then when I finally got to go to Switzerland, when I got accepted to work in the chocolate factory, that whole thing took 3 years. And within that, I had a car accident. I mean, so many dramatic things happened. And when I finally got permission to go, I didn't have the support from my mom, you know, and that was bittersweet.
But it's just weird when these amazing things happen. It never quite is the way you imagine it that it will end up being. I mean, sometimes it can be even better than your imagination because you've never had something this amazing. So why can it not be even more amazing than your imagination? You know, like sometimes that happens too. And that's the best.
I'm at the beginning of all these changes. I don't know what's happening. And I'm okay with that. And my dad actually called me yesterday. He was thinking of me and he wanted to tell me to stay positive because the solar eclipse is happening. Or I guess when you listen to it, the day prior it happened. If you look back historically, the solar eclipse had huge meaning to Incans, Aztecs, you know, all these ancient civilizations. Because it was a rebirth, it was to get rid of the old energies and to start with a rebirth, to start with the new. And funny how I'm actually moving right around this time. And yeah, maybe that has some meaning symbolically, energetically. Why not? I'm going to take everything I can if it's something positive.
I've talked about this a few times, and beautiful things can happen, and they happen all the time. Yes, they're, you know, more hidden because so many ugly things happen and wars and all these horrible things. But there's also this beauty and these small things that are perfect, just the way they are. And that's how I'm feeling now. I can't wait. I can't wait for April to come around, which it is now.
But when I recorded this, obviously, it was a month ago.
I'm moving on to my next phase, whatever that will be. You know, I have this idea of things that I want to do and things that I'll start. But I'm sure it'll end up being differently than I imagined. But I just feel so inspired. I don't want to work for a corporation. I don't want to just do these things that don't bring me joy in the way that I want them to. The other day, there was this, it was like a reception for managers because we got our bonus letters. But before that reception, there was a previous reception, and it's basically for hotel guests, and they can come and have like some snacks and desserts, you know, like small treats, and mingle with the managers, you know, that are working at the hotel. So it was ending, and one of the guests, she came up to the hotel manager, you know, and she like thanked her. And then she came to me and she didn't know who I was. You know, I was not in my chef's coat. And she wanted to shake my hand. And I said, oh, you know, hello, like I'm the pastry chef. And she's like, oh my gosh, like I have had so many of your amazing desserts and I'm so happy to finally meet you. And she went on for like 2 minutes. And I was almost a little bit embarrassed, you know, because the managers around me, they know that I'm leaving. So I kind of felt a bit bad, you know, like, but she could not stop. And this, like, to me was so impactful because this is why I went into baking. You know, this is why I love to bake, because I don't do it for myself, like 100%. Like, yes, it has some calming factors and I just enjoy it. But mainly I do it for other people to enjoy. And that's what I've been missing this whole time. I'm just in the kitchen and there's no connection, right? Like all I hear is negative
feedback. And it seems like the more people say negative things, like the more people complain, the more free stuff they get, you know, because ultimately the hotel wants good reviews. And it seems like, do people just know this and then they just know they're going to complain? I don't know. But I feel like that's all I've been hearing these past 2 years is just complaints. I don't know. Let's say if I get 20 complaints, I'll hear one positive thing. And just that negativity, it like makes me think, well, what am I doing this for then? If people are this unhappy, what am I doing it for? And they're not. Like, they're not this unhappy. We just don't get the good news. When she like was going on and on about how much she loved the pastries and what's happening and how much weight she's gained, like in a positive way. Like, of course, I'm going to get that, right? Like, everyone always blames me for them gaining weight. Okay, I mean, sure. But, I mean, she was just so happy. And I was like, wow, like, that's amazing. I love that. And I realized, you know, yes, that's what I want. I want to be in front of people and talking to them, not, you know, in the back, like just hearing negative things. I mean, we make so much at the hotel. Like, I'm finding out more and more that other hotels, they can't have a large staff because of budget reasons and also because it's hard to find good people, but they buy like 80% of things, you know? But here we're making, like we're making everything. And that's important. That's more quality. Like, pastry chefs are going out of style. Like, less and less hotels want pastry chefs because they figure, oh, we can save this whole salary if we just buy all these things. But it's not the same. It's not the same. So yes, when that guest was talking about how much she enjoyed the desserts, I was like, oh my God, this is like what I needed. You know, this is what I've been wanting this whole time. I even told my staff how happy we're making these guests, you know, and all the things that the guests said, this positive feedback. And they looked at me kind of confused and they're like, Chef, we had no idea. We had no idea people felt this way. I'm like, I know. This is why I'm telling you. You're doing a good job. Keep going. So I feel like I'm always going in between like corporate jobs because the money's better. But then I shift back to like small bakeries because that connection is better with the guests. You know, I can talk to them, but then I'm like not getting paid well. You know, so I always go back and forth, back and forth. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm looking for job opportunities. And there aren't huge amounts of opportunities, I guess, because there's more people. So there's less job postings in San Diego. There's more opportunity in LA. But I'm like, okay, it's fine. And then I saw this small cafe. They were posting. They need a pastry chef to make all their product and to go to farmers markets like 4 days a week and sell everything and basically spread the word, you know, of this cafe. So I'm thinking, well, but that's what I want to do for myself. So why don't I just do it for myself? But this is what I'm aiming for. I'm going to start with farmers markets and just see. Like, I really do think this can be popular and we'll just go from there, you know? Yes, I'm going with donuts and cookies because I'm passionate about donuts and I know people just love cookies, right? Like, and today I made these desserts. It's International Women's Day. Of course, by the time you hear this, it'll be like a month ago. You know, when I recorded this, it was International Women's Day and I made four different desserts and I made this red velvet cake. Every single plate was this red velvet cake. So it's like, I know if you do anything with red velvet, it's going to be super popular. If you do anything with donuts and maybe like donuts and ice cream, it's going to be super popular. If you do anything with s'mores, it's going to be super popular. Like, this is what I know and I'm going to use it to my advantage. My life is changing by the week and I couldn't be happier. And just more excited. And I just feel inspired. New things are scary, but also why not? Like, they're also this, like, release, you know, of old energy, letting in new things. And again, when I know that I'm ready for the next thing, I go for it, you know? And this has just developed in a fast way, but also it's been so natural. Everything's felt positive. And I think that's the main thing. If it feels positive, if you know it feels right, then it is right. You know, you can't predict what's going to happen. You know, I know we like to guard ourselves from possible terrible things, but we can't, because those terrible things are going to happen either way.
I'm not saying those terrible things will happen to us. I'm just saying those things are out there. They're always floating around. They're always happening.
And what do we do in between? How do we live our lives in between those moments? Like, you just have to go for it all the time. Yes, this is my, like, mentality. I don't know anything of what's going to happen. But the fact that my fiancé is there, he found an apartment and he's supporting me in that way, it's less worry. If I had to do this all by myself, it would be more challenging, you know, because it's hard to find something from a distance, you know. So in that way, he's helping me so much, you know, just logistically. My thought to you is, if you're passionate about something, just go for it, you know, because if you're just waiting for something to happen, it's probably not going to happen. You just have to go for things, and then maybe other things will go in that way to support you and to make that shift easier and less stressful. I mean, that's the hope. And in my case, this has happened, and I feel like this is such a rare thing. I just want to hold on to that feeling. Continue for what you love. Don't let go of that dream. Don't let go of those goals. Even if it doesn't happen the way you expect, the way you think it should happen, just let go of that. Let it happen in the way it's supposed to, whatever way that is. I don't think there's a wrong way. As long as you continue to do what you love to do, it's going to feel right. Thank you for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time, and please follow me on Instagram. My new business will be, it's called Sweet Kat Pastries. I'm going to be starting that at farmers markets in San Diego and the surrounding area. So stay posted with that. Thank you so much. Until next time.